Dwayne Johnson. You probably make your boobs bounce. There'll be a thing on your eyebrow that looks like the people's eyebrow. But I'm gonna be looking into the eyes of Dwayne Johnson and see a man afraid. Because you're gonna be looking at a dude who may not have balls, but a dude who is gonna beat the hell out of you at WrestleMania, Jack. Oh, carry on, continue trending.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
It's like a nightclub in here, James.
Since when did the Smack Talk Studios turn into Club 54 with the strobe lights?
Let me turn on the LEDs here.
And Madonna in the background. And
well, I figured, you know, why can't The Rock and John Cena get along? Give me all your loving? I don't know. It's the only time I'll ever get away with playing Madonna on the show, so... No, you're not liking it?
I don't mind it.
It's no Van Halen or Megadeth.
Hey, it wakes me up. That's good. That's a good thing. So.
And then there's Nicki Minaj, who, of course, I don't think you would have seen her performance at the Grammys, but...
No, probably not.
It was pretty bad. Anyways, welcome to another edition of SRL on a Monday night. My name is Corey Callahan, alongside James McDonald.
Hello, hello.
James, are you sexy and do you know it?
You better believe it.
Wow. The confidence exuding from this man is
like
nothing
CM
else.
Punk, what can I say?
That's right. www.smacktalkradiolive.com or facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And we have something new to plug this week, James, because
we are finally
on the big show.
Finally!
That they call Twitter. At SRL Radio, for those who are looking to sign up and follow along.
Absolutely.
Actually, it's quite interesting, Twitter. I've never really used it before, but now we have a reason to use it.
Bit of a different beast, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So this is SRL on a Monday night, a little different from our normal Thursday show, because tonight we go over the Monday Night Raw.
Just happened.
From Portland, Oregon tonight, of all places.
Also pretty close to home, actually.
Yeah, it's nice to see Raw on the West Coast for, you know, it is every now and then, of course, but it's kind of in our neck of the woods tonight, the Pacific Northwest.
That's right. Yeah.
Would you consider Portland, Oregon the Pacific Northwest?
I think so, I would, yeah.
Yeah? All right.
I definitely would. So what'd you think of Raw tonight?
I liked it.
I did too. I found it was very match light and very promo and video package heavy, but I thought it was a decent Raw, and it
was a very interesting one. I haven't had enough time to digest it, but I'm sure I'll get there as we move along in this show. But before we get into it, let me ask you, NHL trade deadline tonight.
Oh,
you know, us
boy,
being Canadians,
right.
We got to mention something about the NHL trade deadline. Cody Hodgson from the Vancouver Canucks heading to the Buffalo Sabres. Your thoughts?
Well, you know what? Initially, I thought it was a dumb move, but now that I've done a little bit more research and I'm kind of looking at what the Canucks have got back from Buffalo and Zach Cassian, I think this is going to be a good move in the end.
I'm going to be honest here and say that I've never seen Matt Cassian or Cassian.
Zach Cassian.
Sorry. See, yeah. I don't even know his first name.
You don't
name,
even know his name. There you go.
I'm going to reserve all comments on the trade until I've seen him in action.
Well, he's a big guy. He's someone you can stick on your back six, so it's kind of what the Canucks were looking for.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's expected to play tomorrow night along with their other latest acquisition, Paulson. What's his first name?
Sammy Paulson. Yeah. That's right.
Who apparently is very good friends with the Sedins.
Is he?
Yes. I was listening to a radio show this morning where he was on it.
Oh, yeah.
And he had mentioned that they actually have a vacation home like on the same street as the Sedin brothers back in Sweden. So.
Well, there you go. No strangers. Well,
there you go.
Certainly nice.
All right. So Monday Night Raw from Portland, Oregon, as I've already said. Now, heading into this one, you got to think big night ahead. Obviously, this is one of the crucial nights setting up WrestleMania because it was announced that The Rock was coming back. Now, were you thinking that they were going to start with The Rock tonight on Monday Night Raw?
No, I had a feeling that they were going to save Rock until the end. I mean, when you got somebody who's got the star power of somebody like The Rock, you don't start right out the gate and blow your load, as our friend Corey Basso would like to put it. But
and did you think that they would be focusing on more... Did you think heading into this show that they were going to focus more on The Rock and Cena than they did tonight? Or were you happy with the amount that they had focused
on? I thought they were going to focus a little bit more on The Rock and Cena tonight as opposed to, say, Undertaker and Triple H, just because they got so much time on last week's Raw. Like, mm-hmm. It was almost, what, half an hour that segment got?
Were you surprised at how little of time Triple H and The Undertaker got this week?
No, not really. Again, just because of all the time that they got last week and mm-hmm. how little time that Rock and Cena got, mm-hmm. really. Even though Cena did cut that amazing promo last week.
Without getting into specifics, after watching Monday Night Raw tonight, are you more excited for WrestleMania? Are you about the same as you were hours ago?
Oh, I'm really excited for WrestleMania. This is going to be, I think, the greatest WrestleMania of all time. Just this card looks so stacked so far.
We really accelerated a couple programs here tonight. Definitely three huge mm-hmm. matches on the show for WrestleMania. And they're all three are looking really good at this point.
Really good. Even why don't we start off?
Okay, let's do that. Monday Night Raw. Tonight we started off with an opening montage of what John Cena had said to The Rock last week.
No, right.
And we had made predictions as to who we were going to see start Monday Night Raw tonight. The question was, were they going to start with The Rock? Because typically when The Rock comes back, they like to utilize him and put him on camera as much as possible. So it's always a good idea in their eyes to start with The Rock. That way you can show him continuously throughout the show. A bit of a different tune tonight because Justin Roberts announced that we are actually starting with a champions versus champions match and CM Punk's music hits. And I'm thinking to myself, James, wouldn't this be like the third time in 5 weeks that we've seen CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, and you know what? Every match that they've wrestled has been good, but you're right. This is probably third time in the last 5 or 6 weeks we've seen him wrestle.
And did they announce that it was for the title at all tonight? Do you remember?
No, it was just a champion versus champion match.
A non-title
champion versus champion. Just like it was on SmackDown, mm-hmm. in SmackDown last week.
So after CM Punk comes out, you would naturally assume that the next person to come out of the entranceway would be the World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan. But instead, Chris Jericho's music hits. He walks out with a microphone. And he's face-to-face with CM Punk in the ring, something you and I have been dying to see for the last little while. Finally, it happens here, and it definitely got interesting here.
Oh,
tonight.
It was great. Finally, we get to see them talk to each other, which mm-hmm. was, I think, what everybody's been waiting for. And mm-hmm. I mean, the crowd was really hot for CM Punk, eh?
Yeah.
They were really into him.
And they seem to be really against Chris Jericho, which is a little bit surprising to me because I would still think there are those old school fans who really do like Chris Jericho, but maybe they are in the few these days.
Yeah, probably a little bit. Well, he's getting, good. What do you say about that? He's getting mm-hmm. good heel heat. I mean, he's doing a good job. He's doing his job, so.
Do you feel the need to cheer Jericho in any way at WrestleMania when you're sitting there at Sun Life Stadium April 1st, are you going to be going for Punk or are you going to be going for Jericho?
It's tough to say.
It is a tough one.
I do like CM Punk, but I probably will be cheering for Jericho just because I'm one of those guys that likes to cheer for the heels.
All right. So Chris Jericho says, I have something to say. Let me preface it with saying, you know, Punk, you are a good performer, but you're not in the best in the world. You're not the best in the world at everything you do, and you know it. He says, I never had to say it before. Referencing the best in the world line. Mm-hmm. Jericho said, you know, he never had to say it before. The fans would say it for him, and he didn't have to write it on the back of a t-shirt like some people do in the WWE. And he also says that Jericho, he's part of the last of a breed, the kind that learned their craft, and they were stars before they got to the WWE. Something you don't really see a lot of today. A lot of the time, the WWE is spending time building their stars.
Developing them in their developmental system.
Like, while in front of our faces, you know what I mean? Like, they're developing in front of our eyes, I should say.
Well, plus you've got the promotions like FCW, and mm-hmm. they're developmental territories.
But what Jericho's saying is that before they actually hit Monday Night Raw, they were already big stars, and they had deserved to be there at that time.
Oh, yeah, he's talking about, like, traveling to Japan and touring there and stuff, right?
You know, just how many guys are on Raw that are just so green and you can just, it's so obvious that you can tell?
Oh, there's quite a few, yeah.
I'm thinking about a couple. Mason Ryan rings a huge bell. Someone who had, he was called up to the big show way too fast, developing right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree with Jericho on that one. But he, you know, in this, Jericho continues to say to Punk, at the end of the day, you want to be just like me. He calls CM Punk a wannabe. And eventually Punk has had enough of this. He cuts off his rambling altogether. And Punk says, I've earned everything I have and everything. It's right here. And he holds up the WWE belt right in front of Jericho's face. And CM Punk asks Chris Jericho if he thinks he coined the phrase best in the world. And then he brings up the fact that, you know, Bret the Hitman Hart used to say that he was the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
And I'm loving the crowd pop, too, when he brings up Bret Hart. It was great to see them.
And, yeah, it was interesting. Like, you know.
It was great to see them get into Bret Hart like that.
Here's Jericho claiming to be the one that came up with the phrase, I'm the best in the world at what I do. Mm-hmm. But Punk's saying that there are a lot of other guys who have said that before, including Bret Hart as an example.
I'm sure there's guys before Bret, and I just can't think of any off the top of my head at the moment, but...
And the crowd actually starts laughing at Jericho at this point, and he tells them to continue to laugh it up. And he says this whole thing is going to be taken to a whole new level because he really is the best in the world. He's had tons of matches, moments, and championships, and just stuff to remember far after they're gone from wrestling. You know, highlight your highlight reel material Jericho's claiming to have. And he says, believe it or not, but he is truly the best in the world at what he has done. Or what he does, sorry, and he's already proved it. And Punk at this point asks Jericho, are you proving this to everyone else, or are you proving it to yourself? And Punk brings up the fact that, yeah, you beat The Rock and Stone Cold in one night, and yeah, you won the WWE Championship, and yes, you claim to be the best in the world, but there's a difference between you and I claim to be the best wrestler in the world. And Punk says that he's here hammering it out day by day with the WWE. And while he's there swimming with sharks, Jericho's there dancing with stars.
And right away, I'm thinking to myself, what an interesting parallel this is to John Cena and The Rock almost.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've got the one guy who's kind of...
the big star, yeah.
The big star. And then you've got the other guy who's been toiling away week after week on Monday Night Raw. So it's kind of interesting.
It seems to be a growing trend with storylines, doesn't it?
It seems to be an interesting parallel there. I enjoyed that.
And Jericho responds with, yeah, he is a bigger star. You know, he's doing Jay Leno and Dancing with the Stars. And that's something that Punk will never be at. That's a level that Punk will never be at. And I kind of could agree with that. But Jericho said while he was doing these things, like Leno and Dancing with the Stars, all he could think about while doing that was how CM Punk was ripping him off. You know, ripping off his whole gimmick. And Jericho says the entire time he was thinking to himself that he wants to embarrass CM Punk at WrestleMania. He wants to put him in his place, James.
Oh, I really enjoyed the intensity and the anger that Chris Jericho really brought to this promo. And I think the crowd really got into it, too, near the end there.
Mm-hmm. I personally am a little surprised that more people aren't cheering for Jericho in this program. I understand that he's purposely trying to be the heel. Mm-hmm. But this could be a match at WrestleMania where you really do have the crowd split on who to go for.
Yeah, but Jericho's pulling the heel tactics, like insulting the crowd. And
that's what I kind of don't like about this. I think they should have really confused the crowd. And you have both of them as faces, or at least have Jericho as a tweener, because there's no way that Punk's going to become a heel in this in any sort of way. But, you know, you have Jericho try and have half the crowd on your side, at least. I'm a little surprised that's not happening. Punk says that you just had to ask him for a match at WrestleMania and that he would have accepted. And at WrestleMania, when everyone sees Punk say, and he drops the microphone at this point and he goes to the crowd, he yells out loud, best in the world. When he yells that out to the crowd, Jericho can realize that it's not the end of everyone else's world. It will just be the end of his.
Huh.
It's at this point that Daniel Bryan's music hits and out walks Daniel Bryan with AJ, David Otunga, and John Laurinaitis of all people. And this sets up the this sets up the match that we've been waiting for since the beginning, the scheduled champion versus champion match of CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan.
So Daniel Bryan, he'd come out to the ring. AJ would be accompanying him along with John Laurinaitis and David Otunga. Did you mention that?
Yes.
Okay, and then, this is... pretty decent match. It wasn't the longest match. Actually, it was probably the longest match of the night, I'd say.
Yeah.
And then you had, after they came back from the first commercial break, you had Teddy Long and Santino on the commentary booth. So it's kind of setting up a little bit of the rivalry there. But anyways, the finish of the match essentially started when CM Punk would hit, you know, the Randy Savage elbow drop that he does every match. He would then call for the go to sleep, but David Otunga at this point would get up onto the apron and try to distract him. Bryan would try to take advantage of Punk being distracted to put him in the lapel lock, but he would reverse it. Then they'd get up and they'd Irish whip themselves a couple of times, and then they'd eventually collide in midair and they'd both go down. At this point, David Otunga would get back up onto the apron, but then Santino would jump up and hit him with the Cobra. And then Laurinaitis would come and grab Santino off the apron and throw him down. And then Theodore Long at this point would get involved and he'd start arguing with John Laurinaitis. And it's at this point that Daniel Bryan is walking up the ramp with AJ, trying to kind of slink his way out of the whole thing. And then Sheamus would run up from behind, grab Daniel Bryan, throw him back into the ring where Daniel Bryan would get hit by a go to sleep. And before the referee could make any kind of count, John Laurinaitis would immediately zip himself into the ring and kind of tell the ref not to count. And he'd immediately call the match off. Mm-hmm. And it's at this point that Teddy Long would come in and then they'd start to kind of push and shove. And yeah, and then the match is essentially thrown out, so there's no finish to it.
One thing I did like about this match was the fact that Daniel Bryan used to wrestle for Portland quite a bit, so this was a bit of a hometown match for him.
I thought, yeah, he would have got a little bit of a better reaction than he did, but...
But it was after this point. You haven't mentioned the fact that Laurinaitis ended up throwing Santino off the ring.
Oh, yeah, I did mention that.
Oh, okay.
So he threw Santino off the ring, and then it was at this point that Bryan, like I said, was scurrying up the ramp, and mm-hmm. Sheamus would come down, throw him back in, and he'd get hit by the GTS, but yes. Before the referee could count, Laurinaitis threw the match out, right? And then kind of degenerated from there.
And how about the fact that Teddy Long ends up actually pushing John Laurinaitis right to the ground?
So a little bit of a hint of a physical confrontation between the two?
You think that's about as physical as they get, or is this actually setting up a actual match between the two guys?
I don't think you're going to see a 65-year-old Theodore Long wrestle at WrestleMania, unfortunately.
Would you like to see it, though?
No.
What would you like to see? Would you like to see a 3-on-3 representing the two GMs, or would you like to see those two guys actually get in the ring?
No, I'd like to see where they each have a representative, kind of like what Vince McMahon and Donald Trump had, like we were mentioning on our last show. Kind of have one, one representative from each of the GMs, and they have a match to determine who's going to take control of both shows.
Really? You don't want to see those two guys go at it?
No.
Huh. Interesting. I kind of do want to see it after what I witnessed tonight.
Well, then again,
it would just be so.
Well, then again,
bad.
You enjoyed Bret Hart and Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 26. So
you didn't?
No. It was a cool concept, just a bad execution. That's all.
One of the other interesting parts of this segment was when CM Punk was walking up the entranceway, and just as he lifts up his WWE Championship to the crowd, Chris Jericho attacks him from behind, wearing his leather pants and all. And he actually body slams CM Punk onto the steel grate at the top of the ramp.
That had to feel good.
And he ends up putting Punk in the walls of Jericho right at the top of the entranceway.
And it was a good walls, too. It wasn't one of those like Boston Crab type walls. He had the shin right over his head and everything. So, no, it was good. And you know what? I'm enjoying where they're going with this program now. That's all they had to do. All they had to do is have one mic battle. And
well, that's my question to you, is how much more amped up are you for this match just based off what you witnessed here?
Oh, tonight? Oh, 10 times probably than what I was before.
Really?
Because let's face it, going into Raw tonight, there wasn't really a whole lot to get you excited about this CM Punk Jericho program, was there?
They hadn't had enough time yet, so they finally gave him the time. Yeah. And now they gave him the time to start the whole thing off. This is what they've done. Where does it go from here? I mean, CM Punk responds next week. Will there be more physicality between these two?
I think next week there'll probably be, maybe there'll be some kind of match with Chris Jericho in it, and then CM Punk comes out and attacks him. I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. Next week you're going to see CM Punk get one up. That's going to be for sure. So
okay.
But no, I'm definitely way more excited for this match after this first segment of Raw than I was
before. Now, who do you think was better on the mic?
Better on the mic? Well, see, that's tough. See, I would have thought, what we're going to talk about later on would be tough, but no, this one was probably a little bit more tougher. I'd have to say...
I personally like Jericho in this one.
That's what I was going to say, too. I'm kind of leaning towards Jericho, because, I really liked that seriousness. I really liked that intensity that he brought to it. And again, Yeah, he's just that little semblance of realism mm-hmm. added into it that yeah. just gives it that little bit of extra flavor, you know?
I did see shades of the old Chris Jericho finally, which was nice.
Yeah, the old WCW Chris Jericho, mm-hmm. which was cool.
We then go on camera with Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, and they introduce us to a video package of Triple H and Undertaker at WrestleMania 27 last year in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as far as we got into the continuation of this program.
And you know what? I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah.
I am.
Enough. Last week was enough for you?
Oh, last week was great. Last week set it all up, and then you don't want to You don't want to overdo it, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at here, right?
Yeah. So you make the fans, you're making the fans wait 2 weeks until they get the next nugget.
Exactly.
Do you think the Undertaker was in the building tonight or no?
I don't.
Do you think they just give him the week off?
Probably not. Undertaker, probably not. Triple H, maybe. Undertaker, probably not. No.
Yeah.
Actually, probably Triple H. For sure. Triple H is probably there. Yeah.
We are then told to go to WWE.com to see the exclusive with HBK. And Cole says, we have to hear this interview. It's unbelievable. That's how badly they are promoting WWE.com these days. They
really want the traffic there.
They are grasping at straws to get us to go there.
Same with their Twitter. Holy smokes.
We are then shown heading into the commercial break that it's going to be John Cena versus The Miz tonight on Raw, a rematch from last year's WrestleMania. And we come back from commercial with Nikki Bella and Kelly Kelly, who are already in the ring. We don't get any entrances anymore for the Divas division, it looks like. And we're then shown a tweet from Kelly Kelly talking about what Eve did to Zack Ryder. That's the funny thing I found about this whole Divas match tonight, just before you get into it, was just they show this tweet that Kelly Kelly posted about Eve Torres. Is that how we're advancing the Divas division storylines now? The girls just trash each other through Twitter and that's good enough?
Well, heck, that's how they're advancing the WrestleMania main event, is through social media. So
wow,
if it works for them, it's going to work for the Divas, I guess.
And another opportunity and another reason to go to WWE.com, because during this Divas match, James, we're told that Trish Stratus is doing a live interview right now on WWE.com.
Holy smokes.
So obviously you had got up and went straight to the computer to log on and find out what she was saying.
Don't tell everybody, jeez.
All right, Kelly Kelly versus Nikki Bella.
Yeah, this was short and sweet, like most Divas matches are. Essentially, it was Nikki basically taking control until the finish of the match, where they tried to do the twin magic, but Kelly Kelly kind of knocked Brie off the apron into the floor, and then they did this kind of the other Bella twin, I can't remember which one was wrestling. It was Nikki.
Nikki was in the match.
Nikki was in the match. Okay, so she went to roll up Kelly Kelly.
Wow, your notes are really thorough, aren't they?
Yeah, when it comes to Divas, absolutely. And then Kelly Kelly reverses it into a roll and roll up for a three count. And it was, it was like a roll up into a bridge for the three count.
Well, she had rolled through the pin.
She'd rolled through the roll up and into a bridge for the three count.
I actually thought it wasn't bad. I thought Kelly was okay tonight. I didn't find her wrestling to be terrible. You weren't even looking. You're tired. I can tell. We're then reminded for a third time tonight so far. I hadn't mentioned the previous two, but we are mentioned for the third time that The Rock is here tonight on Monday Night Raw.
They just love throwing that down our throats, eh?
As if we didn't know that already. And we are then shown a video package of The Rock and his history with WWE. And this is all promoting his new DVD called The Epic Journey of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now, isn't that just a little too familiar to the name of his current movie, Journey 2?
Yeah, with the epic journey
The DVD that the WWE is coming out with journey is titled The Epic Journey of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. This is all coinciding at the same time as his movie launch, Journey 2. I don't know. I'm just saying that looks a little too convenient for me.
Oh, I wouldn't put anything by them.
Maybe they're hoping people are just so stupid that they'll make the mistake at the movie store and accidentally buy this movie as opposed to the one that's in theaters.
What, the epic journey of Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Yeah, you think that...
Oh, man.
Do you think they're insulting the crowd that much?
I'm not. You know what, I'm not going to say anything just in case I regret it later, so...
At this point, John Cena's music hits and he walks out. Tomorrow, I'd say a mixed reaction from the crowd. There were more boos than cheers, I'd guess. John Cena is in the ring. He makes the crowd wait for his certain audio cue where he can raise his arms. I hate how he does that. You know, when he gets in the ring and just before he's about to start talking, he sort of, you know, he waits for his music to hit that exact point and then he lifts his arm up. That is so cheesy to me. And it's insulting, I think. If you don't time your entrance properly, don't do it. Just skip it. Anyways, it's at this point, after we had to wait for John Cena's audio cue, that we are shown two awesome looking girls in the crowd.
Oh yes, the
sluts. I'm just gonna come out and say it.
The sluts in the front row.
A gratuitous shot of two sluts in the front row.
Ring rats. We'll be nice and call them ring rats.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. I should have thought of that. Miz's music hits and he walks out with a microphone and he says, "John Cena, he's worked too hard to be treated like this." And the Miz is talking about how he's been treated by the WWE recently, you know, just being looked hey, right over.
Well, it is his fault that Survivor Series didn't draw, isn't it?
I guess so. And he says he has worked harder than everyone in this company, including John Cena, who does all the media around the country and still does every show he does. And he says that his name has yet to be called upon for WrestleMania. It's at this point that he tells the crowd to shut up, and he says it's a crime. They don't even want him on WrestleMania. He says he is going to prove to everyone tonight that he is Mr. WrestleMania, and he's going to do it by beating the man that he beat in last year's event. Because he's The Miz, and he's awesome. At any point during this promo, are you believing The Miz is going to beat John Cena tonight?
No.
I'm thinking this is going to be another burying.
Zero to none, and this is like... First thing I'm thinking when I see this match is I'm going, okay, this has got to be some sort of punishment.
Yeah, for something. Like, what is? It just looks like they're just using him for loss after loss, you know, after loss until they're about to get rid of him for good.
You can almost kind of tell now which matches are meant to be almost like a punishment.
What's happening with The Miz is very similar to what happened with John Morrison. They're using him as much as possible to get other guys over until they just get rid of him altogether.
Sad.
It is.
I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that.
Like, I know. That's just what's happening, though.
Oh, man.
Do you agree with it?
No.
I think The Miz is a good talent.
I don't ever agree with people using people, but...
Like, I think The Miz is a good talent and that he's being underutilized this year.
There's a lot of people saying that it's attitude, though, right? You got to have the right attitude. You got to be a team player. And apparently The Miz is not that. Apparently he's very cocksure of himself, let's just say, in the back. And it's rubbing people the wrong way.
But you have to walk around that locker room with a bit of confidence.
Yeah, you do. But there's a fine line, I guess, between confidence and then being so cocky that you're putting other people off, right? Like, yeah, it's fine to have confidence. But just, you know, you got to be able to mind your P's and Q's, especially when you're someone like The Miz who, yeah, you've been there for a while. But let's face it, you're still... essentially paying your dues, right?
But we don't ultimately know if that is what he is like backstage.
No, we don't. Again, this is just allegations that I'm reading, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any basis or fact to them
whatsoever. Well, I mean, I can't see anything he's doing wrong out in the squared circle. I mean, he seems to be on his game when it comes to the microphone. I mean, he had a couple bad spots at the Elimination Chamber, but this has been going on.
This has been
going on well before the Elimination Chamber. I mean, you could argue this has gone back to Survivor Series when he was forced to just be the victim for John Cena and The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So something has been going on that we're not aware of. Otherwise, I don't understand how you go from beating Cena at last year's WrestleMania to not even being announced on the card this year.
Oh, they'll find something for him. He'll probably be in that whole Laurinaitis versus Teddy Long match. Because it's probably going to be like a 3-on-3 or a 4-on-4 type thing. Or maybe even like a Survivor Series type thing.
Hmm. Yeah, there's definitely going to be a couple group matches I can see forming.
So people have something to do, essentially. Yeah. Right? So.
Well, this, of course, would set us up for The Miz versus John Cena for the millionth time.
John Cena, of course, would take control early, but he'd try to hit his attitude adjustment right off the bat, but Miz would reverse it into that backbreaker / neckbreaker thing that he always does, which I think is kind of cool.
Yes, and then he'd hit like that move.
And then he'd hit that. The move that I like that The Miz does is that sick DDT that he does from his knees.
Mm, yes.
And he got that for a 2 count on Cena.
Cena sold that well tonight.
Very well. Almost Rob Van Dam-like.
Oh.
And it's essentially, the finish of the match would come when Miz would hit that clothesline, that sitting clothesline that he does in the corner.
Yes.
And then he would go up to the top rope for a double axe handle, and he'd miss the double axe handle, and then Cena would, you know, start laying out the 5 moves of doom. Super Cena hulks up and comes back, 5 moves of doom, 5-knuckle shuffle, and he picks him up, hits the attitude adjustment this time, right away into the STF, and Miz taps out right away. So John Cena makes the Miz tap out.
And as Cena's music plays, because he had won, Cena standing on the middle rope at this time, almost... cheering alongside the crowd. The Rock appears on the Titantron, and he looks right into the camera, and he does the "you can't see me" hand gesture, and it goes back to, and the camera cuts back to Cena as he's clapping the hands of the fans as he makes his way up to the ramp. He then waits for his audio cue again, and he lifts his arms to the crowd. And I just hate this.
You don't like that audio cue?
No, he's just trying so hard to be a face. He's clapping the hands, and he's doing the arm raising. He's trying too hard now, and it just bugs me. But that's the stuff I don't like about John Cena, that it's just so cheesy sometimes. Huh. And that's a couple instances again tonight that just those little moments, I'm just like, come on, John, just don't do that. But
see, that's not the stuff that bothers me about John Cena. It's the stupid, smarmy comedy that he does. The unbelievable, you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I don't even know how to articulate it at the moment.
We then come back from commercial with Justin Roberts announcing a WWE Tag Team Triple Threat Championship match. Separate entrances for R-Truth and Kofi Kingston. I guess because they're not officially a tag team yet. I guess you're not officially a tag team until you win the pinnacle of tag team wrestling, which is the championship belt.
I know, you were mentioned into that when you mentioned that to me when we were watching Raw.
And Vicky Guerrero comes out, and she, with her sexiest voice ever, introduces Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger as a tag team. And Primoco and Epico come out with Rosa Mendez, who takes the PG show to a whole new level with a little dance on the ring apron.
Holy smokes.
And this sets up the Triple Threat Championship Tag Team match, R-Truth and Kofi versus Ziggler and Swagger versus Epico and Primo.
Okay, so there was a lot of fast action in this match, a lot of tags, so I don't exactly have the best notes, so I'll basically just go over the finish for you here. So essentially the finish would come when Kofi Kingston would get the hot tag. He would end up taking out Jack Swagger with a big cross body from the rope, but Epico would come in and he'd break the pin. But it was at this point then that Kofi would pick up Epico and body slam him down onto Swagger, and he'd hit like the double boom drop.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, Ziggler would then run back in and he'd make the save in the match. And then a couple more tags later, and Jack Swagger would end up having the ankle lock on Epico. And it was at this point that Kofi would come in and he'd hit the Trouble in Paradise on Swagger, which is like that swirling kick that he does to the face, right? And then Primo would come in at this point. Then he'd hit the backstabber on Swagger, which is that move where he pulls him back to the double, the double, it's hard
puts
to describe.
He puts his knees in his back.
Essentially, yeah, he puts his knees in his back. And anyways, Epico would take advantage of the backstabber and he'd cover Swagger for the win. So Epico and Primo.
That's an impressive victory. I was actually a little surprised at who walked away at that one.
You kind of thought that R-Truth and Kofi were going to take that one.
Oh, I figured this would be the opportunity to make them an official tag team.
Giving them the belts.
Well, I was thinking that they probably will be a tag team heading into WrestleMania. I really see that happening.
Oh, you think so?
Mm-hmm.
You think maybe they'll be in a tag match for WrestleMania?
I'm thinking so. What about you?
I could see that happening. Do you like Epico and Primo as tag champs?
I never did until tonight. I looked at them tonight and I'm thinking, yeah, these guys could be a credible tag team. And it really helps that they have Rosa Mendez to look at every now and then, because, you know, at the boring spots of the match, you can just sort of look down at the ring apron there and see Rosa Mendez, and you're right back in the whole thing.
I'm kind of sad that they didn't have the Usos involved in this in any way.
I'm kind of sick of the Usos. Not sold on them.
Oh, I'm liking the Usos. Ever since they started coming out and doing that Samoan dance before they...
Yeah, I don't like that.
Really? You don't?
No, it's awkward.
I love that.
If I was in the crowd, I would think this is very awkward.
No way. I totally disagree with you. I'm loving the Samoan dance.
Imagine, you're there in the crowd on a date. You're taking a girl who's never been to a wrestling event before, and you're like, yeah, this is really awesome. Trust me, come to the event. And then you have the Uso brothers come out and do this ridiculously awkward dance to no music, and then you just sort of like
I turn to her and I'd say, I taught them that.
Yeah, no. Then you could pretty much guarantee the night's over after the wrestling event's over. I don't know.
Get a little bit of culture, my friend.
I think it would be awkward. I don't want to see that in person. That's just me. Where are we here? So after Primo had pinned Swagger, it was Primo that...
It was Primo that hit the backstabber, but then it was Epico that took advantage because he was the legal man and he pinned Swagger.
Regardless, after their victory, Kane's music hits, and this is the return of Kane finally since the Elimination Chamber, and he walks out and he immediately decks Epico outside the ring, and he jumps in and he double choke slams Ziggler and Primo, and eventually R-Truth.
R-Truth comes back in for the save, and he tries to put up a little bit of a fight, but the end it was...
Yes, and there you have Kane standing over all three men in the middle of the ring.
It's interesting, so I wonder what they're going to do with Kane for WrestleMania now.
I don't know, I guess he's out of the hospital, because the ambulance took him right there.
Yeah.
It didn't last very long. He obviously couldn't have been that hurt, because he looked as strong as ever tonight.
Choke slamming three guys.
So where are you thinking Kane ends up at WrestleMania after what you saw tonight? I'm thinking middle card, second, third match, possibly.
Kane and Brodus Clay.
Well, no, that's not happening. I don't even think you're going to see Brodus Clay at WrestleMania.
I know, it's such a shame.
But Kane will be in one of the group matches, I can almost promise
you. Think
you
think so?
Yes, I can just see it happening. Who else is it going to be?
Zack Ryder? Maybe. Kane versus Zack Ryder at WrestleMania? I can see
Well, where
that.
Was he tonight?
He doesn't have to come out tonight. Maybe he comes out next week. Maybe Kane comes out next week and destroys a few more guys, and then you come have Zack Ryder come out and make the save, and that kind of sets up their program heading into WrestleMania. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's a good idea. I'm just wondering where he was tonight. Like, maybe they just gave him the night off, but he was no mention of Zack Ryder tonight.
Yeah, maybe they're just keeping him off TV, or I don't know.
Kane throws his hands in the air, and fire comes from each ring post, as he likes to do. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Kane is back from the hospital. And we are then thrown to David Otunga with John Laurinaitis. They're in the back talking about the Oscars last night. Teddy Long walks in and he says, "I'm hearing a rumor, guys, that John Laurinaitis won't be running Raw next week." And Laurinaitis responds with, "Yeah, well, you'll be buying a ticket to SmackDown because you're going to be fired." And then Teddy proceeds to call him a horse's ass. And then we are reminded for a fourth time that The Rock is back tonight with a graphic. And then we head to commercial, we come back, and we're reminded of the uncomfortable situation involving Eve Torres and Zack Ryder. And after this montage just ruined the image of Eve Torres, Justin Roberts then announces her, and her music hits, and she walks to the ring. Crowd immediately boos, and a Hosky chant starts. I mean, you couldn't set this girl up to be a bigger heel. You just have this video trashing her. I mean, personally, I think this is almost defamation of character.
I don't think I've ever seen somebody go from, like, shining, innocent baby face to just vile, scumbag heel in such a short, 1 week turnaround, you know?
And this video that they showed of her tonight just made her look terrible. And then they announce her to come out to the live crowd who just witnessed this video. I mean, it's just setting this girl up for disaster, but what they're wanting, right?
Oh, absolutely. The best part is she's always going, "Oh, it was taken out of context, John. Please let me explain." How do you take that out of context?
I am going to use John Cena. How is that out of context?
I'm going to use the biggest fish in the pond, and I've got him in my hooks, yeah, right where I want him, yeah, or something along those lines.
And in the middle of the ring tonight, she has the microphone and she says, "She is a woman living in a man's world. She tells men what they need to hear and they love it. She may use them, but there isn't a man in the world who wouldn't love to be used by a woman like her. It's not her fault that they fall in love with her and they can't resist her seduction. She didn't ask for it. Guys beg like puppies looking for affection with her. So don't blame her for her natural strengths. Men should blame themselves for their weaknesses." That's the end of that tonight. And I got to say, I really like what they did with her tonight.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is something we haven't seen before.
So essentially, she just came out and said, "You can't blame me. You have to blame yourselves," and then leave.
Well, because they're trying to play her up like she's this bad girl. But what's so bad about looking as ridiculously hot as she does?
Okay, what was the whole point of this? What did this move forward, though?
It advances the fact that Eve is really a strong heel in the Divas division right now.
But did we need to sacrifice 12 minutes of TV time for that?
It wasn't 12 minutes. It was only like 6 or 5. I think she's worthy of 5 or 6 minutes. I thought it was good. All the guys watching this tonight are all thinking the same
good.
Thing.
She was looking good for sure.
So how can you blame a girl who looks that good? For example, CM Punk. CM Punk's killer on the mic. He uses that to his advantage to get him to the top. Eve Torres looks as good as she does. What's wrong with her using her looks to get her to the top?
You'd make an excellent heel commentator.
Well, I mean, all the guys watching this have got to be sitting there in check thinking, yeah, she's right. I mean, even after she had left, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler were on camera, and Cole asked Lawler if he'd be able to resist Eve if she wanted to use him.
I love the long pause. That's great.
He hesitated like no other, but he said the right thing when he said yes. But we all know that Jerry Lawler would not.
No. There's not a chance in hell he would resist.
No one would.
I definitely wouldn't.
That's what I like about this, and I think the possibilities of this storyline could be really great. Like, you don't know. Maybe Eve has some major influence with the Teddy Long, John Laurinaitis angle. You don't know. And she could really end up being the one who's running the big show.
Or maybe she plays into the whole Kane-Zack Ryder program, if that's to come about.
Maybe. I would like to see her with Teddy Long and John Laurinaitis, and whoever wins this match or whoever wins the power, Eve Torres has got this person by the balls basically and starts running the show herself. Like that could happen. And she's good enough looking to pull it off.
But we just saw that with Teddy Long and Oksana, didn't we?
Yeah, but it's Oksana. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Hey, I don't know. Oksana's pretty good.
I'm just saying I really liked what they did with Eve Torres tonight. I'm interested to see where it goes next. We then go backstage where Eve is walking. This is after her in-ring promo. And she runs into Kelly Kelly, who asks, what's gotten into Eve? She says that she's changed. Eve just laughs and walks away. She is the ultimate heel in the Divas division right now. I'm just saying.
Eve?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you come up with someone better?
A better heel?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Beth Phoenix or Natalya?
I don't even think Beth Phoenix is considered a heel right now. She's being cheered when she comes to the ring.
She's kind of a tweener, I'd say.
So, no, not more heelish than Eve Torres.
Okay, Natalya then.
No.
I just think Natalya's better.
We are then introduced to the movie trailer for Edge's new WWE Studios movie, and this is called Bending the Rules, also starring Jamie Kennedy. What did you think of this when you saw it tonight?
God, I couldn't even tell what it was about.
I don't really know what it's about.
It looked like...
It's definitely a light viewing. Let's just say you could watch this movie extremely tired after work.
Let's just say the first thing I thought about when I saw the trailer for this film was what we were talking about during our financial rundown on our last episode,
mm-hmm.
and how WWE Studios was losing them money. Well, I'm looking at this trailer and I'm going, well, that's why it's losing you money. When you're putting out stuff, I don't know.
It's missing something.
It's missing something, and I don't know, maybe it was the equipment they were using, and the picture kind of looked weird to me. I don't know. You know what I mean? It didn't look like a motion picture.
No.
It looked like something that I filmed on my handycam almost.
Well, it's a lower budget film, and that's what you get, right? I think it comes down to their editing, the way they're editing their movies. I feel that their editing just isn't working for me.
Is that what you think it is?
Yeah, it's a slower style of editing. And it's just missing this wow factor. There's just this one element of these WWE Studios films that are just, it's just lacking. And I can't put my finger on it, but that would be my first guess is the editing of the film. But, I mean, this is made to be a light viewing comedy, I think. I mean, it is a comedy, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just a movie you don't have to think about. Which is fine. I mean, we all know Edge is a funny guy. He's got that weird... quirky sense of humor, so this is probably right up his alley.
Edge is a good performer. I'm not taking anything away from him there.
And typically movies like this aren't about the production value, it's about the actual script. So until you see the movie, or until we've seen the reviews about the movie, we should probably hold off judgment.
Yeah, but you know what? If the trailer for the film doesn't look good, 9 times out of 10, somebody's not going to watch the film.
Yes.
You know?
I agree.
And that trailer, that trailer did not look good.
No.
I mean, I'm not going to watch the film based on that trailer.
All right, fair enough. So, we head to commercial, and before we set up our next match, we come back to Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole, and they're bringing up the rumors again that John Laurinaitis will not be running Raw next week. And at this point, the Big Show music hits, and he walks out for a tag team match. It's going to be the Big Show and Sheamus taking on Mark Henry and Cody Rhodes.
So again, this match was really short because it's very wrestling light this week. So essentially, Cody would start out the match with the Big Show. Actually, you forgot to mention there that before the match started, Cody would bring up a video package of when the Big Show faced Floyd Mayweather back at WrestleMania 24.
And yes, he called it another embarrassing Big Show WrestleMania moment.
And he broke the Big Show's nose. That was, I don't know if that was supposed to happen. Do you remember when that kind of happened?
Raw before WrestleMania? Oh, that was huge, yeah. 2008 this happened.
He's lucky he ran out of that ring, I tell you, because Big Show was going to wring his neck for real, I think. But anyways, the match started out with Cody Rhodes and Big Show in the ring, and then immediately Cody would tag Henry in and then roll out of the ring, and then Henry would get in and Show would take him down with a spear. The Show would then go outside and he'd kind of chase Cody around the ring for a little bit, but Cody would stall and he'd back up the ramp. At this point, Sheamus would tag himself in because Show's back was turned to
Cody.
Self-tag him in because Show was basically yapping at Cody Rhodes as he's backing up the ramp. And Mark Henry was kind of trying to sneak up behind him. So Sheamus tags himself in, hits the bro kick on Mark Henry, and pins him for 1-2-3. So Sheamus and Show are your victors over Henry and Rhodes.
And this would be about as much as you see of the 2012 Royal Rumble tonight. Or sorry, Royal Rumble winner tonight, Sheamus.
Yeah, you know, the only build-up they had for their program tonight was, what, Sheamus throwing Bryan back in the ring so he could get GTS by CM Punk mm-hmm. earlier?
That's it.
That was it.
That's how you're setting up the big World Heavyweight Championship match. I'm telling you, this is opening match at WrestleMania.
And you had no involvement in this match with Daniel Bryan coming out or doing something, right?
No,
I mean... I thought for sure we were going to see Daniel Bryan come out and do something.
No.
But nothing.
Well, he had a match with Punk.
Yeah, but he had a match with Punk, but here you got Sheamus has a match, right? So you think
there'd be retaliation.
Of some sort, right?
Yeah.
But there was nothing, you know, something to push this program forward, because out of everything, this is looking the weakest, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right? Like, it's...
Opening match.
That's the big question. Is this going to be opening match for the second year in a row? And I really hope it isn't.
Are they given more time in the next couple weeks?
I would hope so. Especially for Sheamus. Like, I don't know. Sheamus just, for a Royal Rumble winner, he's just not looking strong to me.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No. And in fact, I think it's indirectly damaging the credibility of the Royal Rumble. Next year, people aren't going to be as amped up for the Royal Rumble considering what they saw this year.
After the last 2 years of seeing the Royal Rumble, I'm certainly not going to be as amped up next year. I mean, I'll still be excited for it. It's the Rumble and all, but...
Yeah. We are then told about breaking news... And that we all need to go to WWE.com tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern for a board of directors announcement. I'll be setting my alarm tomorrow to log on.
Jeez, 10 a.m.
7 o'clock for people on the West Coast.
Oh, is it 10 o'clock Eastern?
Yeah.
Oh, smokes, yeah.
Is this a reason to go to WWE.com? They just tried this 2 weeks ago when, remember, John Laurinaitis had the board of directors review on whether or not he was going
to
stay.
And they decided to keep him.
And now, 2 weeks later, we're going to do the exact same marketing campaign to try and get people to go to the WWE.com website.
Maybe if they had it a little bit later in the day. Because if you think of it, like...
It's midweek. Like, why are we doing this?
It's midweek and it's 10 in the morning. Everybody's at work.
It's more likely to gain viewers on your website if you're doing it right after school.
Yeah.
I would say 4 o'clock.
Between 4 and 5.
Even people working can kind of sneak onto their computers at that time. I'm just saying, it's not working
for me. No, it does at the time. You're right. The time doesn't make sense to me either. But
we're then introduced to a John Cena video package, and we're also reminded that The Rock is finally coming up next. And after commercial break, we have our WWE Did You Know segment, and this week's was the most Twitter followers in WWE, and right now it's The Rock who has the number one spot. He has the most Twitter followers of all superstars in the WWE. He almost has double over John Cena.
Oh, does he?
But apparently John Cena has more Facebook followers. Point being, who cares? I don't need to see this.
Yeah.
But this is what this whole thing is about, Twitter. Nope. And The Rock proves it.
The advancement of the company's social media.
Yes, that's what it is. In fact, I'm almost going as far as saying everything on Monday Night Raw these days is about getting people to talk on Twitter.
The amount of times they show what's trending that bloops up at the bottom there. It's unbelievable.
Or they talk about CM Punk's tweet to Chris Brown or Kelly Kelly's tweet about Eve Torres or what's trending now. That's what this whole program is about now.
And it gets even worse when we start talking about The Rock's promo.
Like, should we be doing this on SRL Radio? Like, when we give an opinion at the end of our opinion, should we just come right out and say, you know,
maybe
The Rock was really good tonight. # Corey said he was good. You know, like,
maybe,
like, that's what it feels like they're doing. This whole show is about getting people on Twitter now. And I'm just, it's wearing thin on me. It is.
We just joined Twitter this week. I love it.
Yeah, but not for that reason. Yeah. We joined Twitter this week only because we're looking to get the message out to people. I mean,
no, I
ideally,
agree.
Ideally, that's what they're doing as well. But they're sacrificing the original product to do it. I'm not sacrificing our original product to gain Twitter followers.
No.
I'll give a plug here or there, and that's about it. And that's really to educate people on what the name is. It's not anything else.
No, I agree with you.
Because I still haven't seen how Twitter translates into dollars with the WWE. I don't know. I haven't seen that yet.
No.
I haven't seen that connection, so I don't know why they're pushing it as hard as they can.
I don't know. Maybe they get so many cents or something for...
No.
Are you a follower or something?
No. It's weird to me. It's like they're thinking of it as free advertising, right? Because that's essentially what Twitter is. If you can get people talking about your product, it's free advertising.
I think maybe a big part of it is because Twitter is so mainstream now, and that's what Vince McMahon likes, and that's what he wants. So he wants WWE to be really in that mainstream kind of discussion on the internet. I don't know.
We are also... it's also announced at this point on Raw that HBK will be returning next Monday.
Ooh, the return of Shawn Michaels? That should be good. So do you think they're going to set him up as a guest referee for this Hell in a Cell match?
I think he will definitely give his opinion next week on the whole matter. I think you're going to have another face-to-face with Triple H and Michaels, and there's going to be some sort of confrontation there. I think that they'll probably tease an involvement with Michaels at WrestleMania, but I think in the end you won't see any sort of physicality from Michaels in the actual match itself. I think they'll tease it like there's going to be, but I can't see them ruining or sabotaging this match.
I would hope not. I would certainly hope not.
Yeah. That's just we'll find out, but at least we know he's coming back next week. And we then get to the big moment, The Rock making his return to WWE. This is the official start of John Cena.
This is what I was waiting for.
Of John Cena versus The Rock at WrestleMania. And we have the silent, we get the silence with the shots of the crowd before finally The Rock's music hits. And he walks out to a huge ovation, Rock wearing his boots to asses t-shirt. And the crowd cheers, and Rock actually points to his forearm at one point, and he shows the goosebumps that he has on his arm.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, Rock doesn't do this every day, so it's a nice reminder when you finally do walk out and you hear that crowd, right? And he says, this, referring to the crowd, this feels so damn good. And without even saying anything, the crowd starts a boots to asses chant. He doesn't even have to say anything, and they just chant what he wants.
The guy's a chant machine.
And chants translate into Twitter hashtags, and Twitter hashtags and translates into Twitter followers, and Twitter followers translate into a very happy Rock.
And no money for anybody.
And he says, this may come as a shock to some in the back, but no, The Rock, he's not here each week. The crowd boos, and he says that if he was here, or he was there every week, I should say, back in the day. And he says, this is where The Rock started, and without you, The Rock wouldn't even exist today. When The Rock said he was coming back last year and never going away, he meant it. It didn't mean he was going to be back at every Raw every single night. That wasn't expected. But if someone in the back wants to take that literally, then go ahead and do so. At this point, without saying anything, a Fruity Pebbles chant starts.
Fruity Pebbles.
And The Rock says that the fans know his heart and soul is in this business, and that he's standing in this ring for one reason, and that's because he loves the WWE. He will always be a part of it, and the WWE will always be a part of him. And he says, John Cena, for years he thought he was a phony. And he says, John wants to talk about it, but The Rock doesn't want to talk about it. He sees him around the building in places like catering. And he says he doesn't want to talk with John Cena in catering. He'd rather slap Cena in the face with a piece of Kung Pao chicken. And he says, you're not a phony. You're not even a bad guy. You're a Kung Pao bitch.
And right away, the crowd's chanting, Kung Pao bitch. Kung Pao bitch. Kung
and I, Pao at bitch. This point, I'm thinking, God, this whole thing is about Twitter. That's what it is. Kung right. Pao bitch. Hashtag. Throw a hashtag in front of it. There we go. Right? It's
terrible.
And John had said something last week that had bothered The Rock. And he said, what Cena had said was that he was representing everyone at WrestleMania who wanted to be a professional wrestler. And The Rock reminds him that he is a pro wrestler, and that means fighting for yourself. Do you think anyone fought for Austin, Foley, Savage, Roddy Piper? No, no one fought for them. So if you want to go and fight for the guys in the back, the guys who wanted to be a pro wrestler, go ahead. The Rock doesn't fight for them. He fights for them, and he points to the crowd. Rock representing the crowd.
So he's getting the people behind him. Like he needed it, but...
Cena's getting the wrestlers. The Rock's getting the crowd. That could be very interesting. I wonder if you'd actually have other wrestlers come out and support John Cena in this program.
Probably not, no.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Would you like to see that?
No, I don't think so.
You have this anonymous email that was sent into a wrestling news website last week talking about how The Rock is stealing the spotlight from someone else, taking a paycheck away from other guys, you know. And, you know, you have these wrestlers who are pissed off with The Rock, and you have Cena representing these guys in the locker room who are pissed off that The Rock's showing up. But at the same time, the crowd can't deny that The Rock is the best out there, and they're behind the guy who's the best in the business. This sets up pretty good rivalry, in my opinion, if they went that route. They didn't really seem to hammer that home tonight.
No, I agree with you, but I don't think I'd like to see somebody else come out and get themselves involved in that way.
No.
I think just keep this strictly personal between The Rock and John Cena heading forward into WrestleMania.
Those people that The Rock said he's wrestling for, the WWE Universe, he says that they are sick and tired of having the Kung Pao bitch shoved down their throats each and every night. Do you agree with that?
A little bit to a sense.
I totally agree with that. I'm one of those guys. I don't want to see John Cena each week in and week out, doing the five moves of doom, just going through the motions and making this a PG-rated show. I don't like the current direction of wrestling.
It's like I mentioned on last week's episode. I don't like PG John Cena. I like the... The older John Cena, the more mature John Cena, I guess.
But how often do you see that scene?
Not very often.
So what you get is PG John Cena 95% of the time.
You're getting Kung Pao bitch 95% of the time.
And is that what you want? No. So I agree with what The Rock's saying here. And before The Rock continues, he says and he reminds everyone, by the way, Portland, Oregon, trending right now, Kung Pao bitch. Oh,
I'll get into this when we're done talking.
And he says, listen, Cena, they are tired of seeing you each and every night, but they aren't tired of being entertained. That's where The Rock comes in. Rock says he lives to entertain, whether it's in the ring or in a movie theater. It doesn't matter. When The Rock came back and called Cena Fruity Pebbles, and we actually see Cena's face on the box, that shows where John Cena's at these days. And he brings up when The Rock came back and said, lady parts, boom, it's trending worldwide. Crowd's chanting. Or the crowd starts chanting. Rock can't really figure out what they're chanting. So he kind of stops them and then he says, okay, on the count of three, we all chant lady parts. Like, this is the power of The Rock. He's got them chanting anything.
Oh, yeah, eating out of the palm of his hand. Anywhere he goes.
He says, okay, now let's chant my favorite. And that would be the word Rocky. Right away, crowd immediately starting to chant Rocky.
The Rocky chant, yeah.
It's at this point, James, I think you looked at me and said, John Cena wishes he could have the crowd in the palm of his hands like this.
Wishes he had half this support.
And then Rock says, you see, Cena, we entertain, we innovate, and
we trailblaze.
He does actually poke fun at John Cena for saying that he is a bit innovative. He went from jean shorts to camo shorts. Which is so true. I mean, that's just a ridiculous change that they, you know, but that's a big thing to John Cena's character. And he says he speaks, and Rock says that he speaks for everyone when he says, Cena, we can't find your balls. And then the crowd.
The camel's working. We can't find your balls. That's what he said.
Exactly. Yeah. And The Rock wants, at this point, the crowd to start chanting Cena missing balls, but the crowd does chant missing balls. Yeah. They kind of shortened it down. And Cena, at this point, has had enough. His music hits. He walks out, has the microphone. He says he wasn't going to miss this. And he says, wow, you actually referred to him as the Kung Pao Chicken. And he says, this is typical Rock shtick. He comes out, make references to his strudel or his penis or whatever he wants, and he leaves.
He actually said penis on TV. I was so surprised at that.
And he says, here is the guy. Cena says he is the guy who runs The Rock down when he isn't here. He's agreeing with The Rock when he said that earlier. And he says, yeah, people love The Rock. He was one of those people until he got to meet Dwayne Johnson. There's a separation apparently with Cena, with The Rock and Dwayne, and that Dwayne is an egotistical, self-centered son of a bitch who couldn't give a rat's ass if this company closed its doors tomorrow. He doesn't need words like respect and loyalty to trend worldwide. And here's an interesting reference, James. He says he doesn't need his notes on his wrist. And he took off his wrist guard at this point. And I'm thinking to myself, does The Rock have notes written on his wrist?
I didn't see any. I was looking at his wrist.
Because Cena actually also made reference to The Rock's tattoo. And he said, oh, nice tattoo. Almost wondering if he did put ink on his arm or on his wrist. I don't know. I couldn't see it. But it was an interesting reference. Something
Yeah, it was
kind something of, will come out of
it
that.
It was confusing, yeah.
He says, Cena's looking at Dwayne Johnson, and while The Rock may be looking at someone with no balls, he will be looking at someone who's going to beat the hell out of him at WrestleMania. And then Cena says, carry on, Rock. Continue trending. Drops the mic and leaves the ring. And Rock says, it's like him to come out, run his mouth, and walk away. And he says, The Rock and Dwayne Johnson are the exact same men, but the difference between you and I is that on the biggest stage of them all, we're going to be kicking your candy ass all over WrestleMania.
And that was how Raw ended.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to say, coming out of this big promo with The Rock, I was kind of disappointed. I was expecting a little bit more.
Yeah?
I mean, from The Rock, I've got really high expectations.
So saying Cena trumped The Rock tonight?
You know what? I'm going to go on record as saying that Cena came out of this looking better.
Really?
I think so. I mean,
I thought The Rock was shaken after Cena had walked out of the ring. The Rock, he didn't know what to say.
Cena had him shook up.
Now, I don't know if this was done on purpose to fuel the storyline, to give Cena the one-up on the first night that they start this whole thing off.
I
don't
think
so.
I think The Rock was genuinely shooken up.
Hmm.
And you don't see that very often.
Well, the one thing I noticed tonight was that The Rock came out unprepared. And that's not like The Rock usually. I think that The Rock... That being said, The Rock is a master of coming out and he's the master of improvisation. He can come out and he can improv better than anyone else. I feel like he almost purposely held it down a notch tonight.
I don't know. There's just something about the whole promo that I really didn't like. I didn't like how much The Rock was smiling, number one. It didn't seem like he was very serious. I think I mentioned before The Rock even did his promo. I was like, I think I said to you, are we going to see serious Rock tonight or are we going to see a little bit of comedy?
But that's why part of me thinks that this was probably done on purpose
to start the slow build
with these guys. You know, you don't want The Rock to be at his best from night one because you got 5 weeks until WrestleMania.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't feel like The Rock came out and got the one up. Like he's like you're supposed to, essentially, right?
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm asking is that done on purpose or is that because Cena was actually just better than The Rock tonight?
I think Cena was actually genuinely better than The Rock tonight.
Hmm. I disagree.
No, you can.
Yeah, I just think that The Rock purposely toned it down.
I don't know. I didn't feel the intensity was there. Like, you go back to Chris Jericho's promo earlier in the evening, and that was great. I mean, there was anger, there was intensity, there was realism to it. The Rock's, you know, it kind of fell flat. To me, it was all about smiling and making this trend and making that trend. It's like...
It was like a big joke almost.
It was. It was the comedy that I didn't want to see, you know?
Now, but then, like, what I'm saying is maybe that's done on purpose because they're setting up for next week or the week after when The Rock comes back and he just lays it into Cena.
I would hope so because...
Well, he's going to have to because he didn't look the greatest tonight. I'm agreeing with you on that.
He did not come out looking on top after this was all said and done.
No. So are you? So what you're saying is you'll be cheering for John Cena at WrestleMania. Is that
right? No, trust me. I'll be cheering for The Rock.
No,
but he did not look good tonight, man. You got to agree with me there. He did not look good when it was all said and done.
No, and that's what's surprising to me. But I can't figure out is if he's doing it on purpose.
I don't think so. You don't understand
what I'm saying,
though. I do understand what you're saying, but I think that after John Cena came out and said his piece and then left, The Rock was, to me, he looked visibly shaken. He was stumbling on his words, and it's just. You know?
Hmm. I don't know. It's a tough one. I did like it, though. It's a good start to the program. We got 5 weeks left, and we are building on this. But I got to say, Cena, one-upping The Rock, which was a surprise tonight.
Well, at least he looking better than The Rock, we'll say that at this point. Looking better than The Rock, so.
So, after witnessing The Rock and Cena tonight, what would be your number one match that you're looking forward to at WrestleMania?
Oh, it's still Rock Cena, definitely.
Really?
Yep, still the main event.
Hmm. Interesting.
What about you?
I don't know. I haven't seen enough of The Rock and Cena yet. Because the thing that bothers me about this program is that it's all about Twitter and Facebook. And I'm against this whole social media campaign anyways. And that's what this main event program is just all about. And the fans are buying it. You know, they're putting the hashtags on Twitter. And they're all adding The Rock and Cena to Twitter. And, you know, we're as guilty because we added Cena to our Twitter. Like, it's... That's what this is all
about.
I'm just against the principle of the whole thing.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that point. But what's selling it for me is the a little bit of realism to it. The hint that there might actually be a real beef between these two guys, that's what's selling me on the whole program. And that's what sold me back in the day on Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, was that you knew that there was a genuine beef between these guys, and that that just made everything that much better.
You think there is a legitimate beef with these guys?
Probably.
I think they're probably good buddies, but they are just true professionals, and they've made the conscious decision to, you know, take it outside the ring and
regardless, even if that's the case, you know, even hinting at there being a little bit of a real life beef just adds that much more flavor to it. And I've always said the best programs are between guys that are either A, best friends, or B, they're they're hated enemies and they don't like each other.
Checkmark John Cena?
No.
Tonight, though.
Yes, definitely checkmark John Cena tonight.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
This was SRL on a Monday night. An interesting Raw tonight from Portland, Oregon. I think it's setting up the show perfectly.
I enjoyed it.
I'd like to see next week a little further advancement with CM Punk and Chris Jericho. I wonder if we'll get that.
No, yeah, but no Rock next week, eh?
No Rock, but we do have Michaels, so we know there's going to be an advancement with the already great Triple H Undertaker storyline.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me just remind everyone, we are back Thursday for Smack Talk Radio Live, a full edition, and we're going to be talking in our local wrestling scene. We're going to be talking with, hopefully, we're going to be talking with the Pacific Cup, and hopefully we'll have a great interview to compliment that discussion about the Pacific Cup that went on this past weekend. I'm still trying to lock that down, but we'll have that hopefully for you Thursday. And of course, check us out anytime, www.smacktalkradiolive.com or facebook.com/smacktalkradio or our Twitter, James.
At SRL Radio.
I'm Corey Callahan.
I am James McDonald.
This was SRL on a Monday night.
We will see you all Thursday.